because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
Hit that hit. Button.
Smack that button. Smack
hey,
that.
Hey, Robert.
Smack that. Yeah.
You're looking like a little bit of a hipster with your beanie on with the curled hair coming out of the bottom. That is strong hipster vibe. Very strong hipster vibe.
Hey, I'm in Minneapolis. I feel like I'm just embracing the culture here. I'm doing it.
What, are you at an Airbnb at a little host house? What are you doing up there?
No, I'm at my my buddy Kyle and Maddie's house. They so Kyle, I actually met through business. We it's actually a little bit of a funny story. We're both looking at different business opportunities. We're in this business forum called the Fastlane Forum, and this was 2014 maybe. Mm-hmm. And this guy put on like this post, and he was just like, "Hey, we're looking for like a handful of guys to move to Albuquerque to be a part of this business." Not sketchy at all, right? 2014 on the internet. I was living in Georgia at the time, St. Simon's Island. And I was like, you know what? Nothing to lose here. Let's go. So literally moved like within a week of seeing this post.
Wow.
And get there and met Kyle. And it turns out the guys weren't very good guys. And it was all a little sketchy. So Kyle and I peaced out. Moved to Thailand actually, and just started the business there. And from Thailand, we were in Chiang Mai for a few months, and then we went down to this island called Koh Lanta for a little while, and then got tired of. Well, we didn't get tired of it. I think our visas ran out, or we didn't want to renew it, and we moved to San Diego. So different lifetime, but
I didn't know any of this. You lived in Thailand for a while,
yeah.
Huh?
Lived in Thailand, yeah.
You got boots on the ground in Thailand?
I do, actually, yeah.
Ooh, spicy.
Adam, got boots on the ground everywhere. Come on.
Boots on the ground. A nice little trip with boots on the ground is fun. That's a good
time. So Kyle, Kyle and Maddie, I'm staying at their place. Maddie's pregnant, very pregnant, due within a couple weeks, I believe. So baby number one on the way here.
Okay, and, so they don't have a small child that flips you off and curses at you?
No, that's
your Utah. That's your Utah.
That's, no, that, no, that's Ireland. That's my.
Oh, that's Ireland. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Unbelievable. These kids nowadays.
Yeah, you went with that story. I was like, where's this going? And you just kept going with it. I loved it.
And I got to tell you, I'm sitting here. I wonder if there's some technology eventually that will allow you to smell stuff from other places. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Because I wish you could smell what I'm smelling right now, Adam, because we have, what is it, Maddie? Is it?
Banana chocolate chip muffins.
Ooh. Protein. I don't know. It sounds healthy, but it smells good.
That's right up a pregnant lady alley right there.
Yeah,
chocolate banana muffins. My goodness, that's pretty.
But I wish you could. I wish you could smell what I'm smelling. It's lovely.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they're going to come up with that technology anytime soon, but it feels like they should.
So, feels like they should. Yes.
Yes, feels like they should. So, so Robert, yes. So, I guess we missed last week. We had a little. I don't even know.
No, Adam. Last week missed us.
Last week missed us. Fair enough. Yeah. I like that. Well said. That was like. That's like the Rob Cassidy. When he doesn't call timeout, so his famous line is, "That's how we call timeout, by making the opponents call the timeout." So I used to love that when I would play with them. Like we would win 3 points in a row, they'd call timeout. I'd be like, "That's how we call timeout." I was like, "Rob,
that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good." And small,
yeah.
Aim small, miss small.
Yeah,
that's another Rob Cassidy special. Aim small, miss small. Easy game. Come on. So Robert, I was going to ask you just a little bit about your next, next few weeks, next month schedule, a little update on the nomadic life along with a little, what tournaments might you be partaking in this next few weeks?
You know, Adam, I'd love to break that down for you.
Please do.
I'm so grateful that you actually asked. It feels like you want to get to know me and you want to know what's going on in my life. And hey, I like that.
That's right. Hey.
And I get to talk about myself, which I also like.
Who doesn't like that, Rob? Who doesn't like that?
So I'm in, yeah, like I said, in Minneapolis now for this PPA tournament. It's snowed probably 12, 14 inches, something like that in the last couple of days. So a lot of snow. They're predicting quite a bit more. So it's a little underperforming, you know, which I know a lot about Adam. Mm-hmm. The show's going on. They're supposed to play singles starting this morning at 10. They push it back to 1, which I think everything should be fine by then in terms of getting to the venue. Mm-hmm. So singles today, I'm not playing that clearly. And then you got mixed tomorrow. My partner, I'm playing with Krista Getcheva. She's supposed to get in at 11 a.m. I don't know if that flight's going to happen because it's a lot of snow. That's awesome. Hopefully she gets in today so we can play tomorrow. Other than that, I play with Julian Arnold on Saturday, which should be fun. Yeah, Andiamo.
Andiamo, that's a nice partner.
Yeah, and then so from here, I am going to Salt Lake City for the first time since I, you know, came over from Hawaii. So it'd be nice to get back there. I'm doing an event in Park City. I believe you're doing that with me, Adam, right?
Me and the prof.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. So
well, I would say tell the people about that event, but maybe you should tell me about that event.
I don't even know much about the event. It's kind of like this underground, not like pretty exclusive, not very well known business event that it has typically 200 guests hosted in Park City. It's called Media Slopes. And I believe it's by Liontree Capital puts it on. But I'm talking like kind of pretty heavy hitter names and just kind of and finance. And like, I know I was looking to see like, what am I in for? What am I going to? So I just Googled this conference and saw there's some pretty, pretty notable people that show up to this place. So
Titans of life, Rob.
Titans of life. Uh-huh. So we'll be doing kind of a pickleball aspect of, you know, introducing people to the game, that kind of thing. So Adam, if there's anybody that's good with people and good with introducing people to pickleball, it's you, sir.
Oh no, I'm ready for it. I just love having the attention on me when everyone that's listening to what I'm saying is way more successful than me. So it's just funny. I talk about it all the time. It's like I'm hitting a wiffle ball with a composite paddle, and these people, like, you know, like created the infrastructure of the country and are doing all these big things, and they're like enthralled with what I'm saying about a silly game/sport. So I'm excited for this, and you know, I think it's one of those things where there's some different activities mixed in, and we're obviously the pickleball crew, and so we're gonna introduce some people to the game, do some networking and have a good old time. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Shout out to, Samin, who, the Brooklyn Aces GM, he kind of set it up for us, hooked it up. So shout out to Samin, the Brooklyn Aces, Rich Kleiman. I think Rich is going to be there. So it'll be good to meet him for the first time. Mm-hmm. And, should be fun. I mean, Park City is beautiful. Have you ever been?
I have been. Yeah.
Oh, look at you. You traveler, you cultured son of a gun.
Yes. And Corinne has a good, an old friend there who actually ended up, I don't know if you know him, marrying Mike Modano, hockey player. He played for the Stars. And anyway, so we have some connection there.
Okay.
And, I also, Rich Kleiman, you mentioned, and Samin, Brooklyn Aces. I saw something on the SportsCenter ticker that old KD, the Durantula, is supposed to be, heading or getting back on the court March 1st, I believe.
Super soon.
Yeah, he got traded to Phoenix and doing some rehab. So that's cool to see him back out there. So, but they have definitely went above and beyond. I saw a little bit of that through you and then also Corinne being on the team. So well done by that ownership group, and I'm excited for this event. So
yeah. Be fun. So from there, I'm going to, So from there, I'll go to Florida. I'm going to play the Florida Open, the PPA in Daytona. So back to Daytona. Mm-hmm. And then I know there's a Austin tournament the following weekend, not planning on playing that. I was going to play a APP in San Diego, but, which is brutal, right? Going Daytona, PPA, San Diego, back to Daytona for MLP. But they moved the San Diego APP to August because I think low numbers-ish. because there's some conflict locally. But so might play the Austin, probably not. And then so it'll be Daytona week off, and then Daytona MLP in March. So a lot of Florida in March, which
yep,
you know, so be it.
Yeah. So speaking of Florida in March, I know this was not March, but you had a little splash in the singles tournament a couple weeks ago. You had a very rough first round playing Jake Cusmeter, and ended up getting a W there, which is a pretty dang good win. And then I believe your very next match, you called me afterwards and told me that you were cramping in your second match, and you also won that match as well. Is that correct? Who was that against?
Yeah, that's correct. I don't know how to say his last name. I think it's John Cangelosi.
Anyway, I've seen him on draws before. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that you had some nice singles results, and much like myself, found a way to cramp up after only two matches. Well done, Robert.
It was that. To be fair, that Cusmeter match was stupid. It was. I remember one game. I don't remember which one. It was like 3-1 for at least half an hour. Please just stop this.
Well, he's very fast and he tries very hard. So that makes for a lot of long points. It was, no doubt about it. Jeez.
So Jake's a twin, and his twin brother was there, and he's kind of a bigger dude, kind of swole and wearing a tank, of course, tank top, you know, as one does when you're swole and big. And I wouldn't know anything about a tank top, but
I've never worn one.
it was funny because his buddy was like, or his brother was supporting him and just kind of leaning on the fence the whole time. And Jake's like, we're both dying. Like, you know, we're both like head on, like hands over our heads on the fence, just like huffing and puffing. And I call a timeout like at 2-1 because I'm tired. and his brother goes, like, in front of Jake, he goes, Rob, how old are you, man? I'm like, and he knew how old I was. Like, I have 37, turned 38 this year. And he's like, Jake, come on, man. Come on. This guy's 37. What are you doing?
Come on, 37. Jake. He's practically over the hill. And Jake's a spry 24 or something like that. He stayed with us at the house for that last MLP. Seems like a nice kid, but man, that was a battle. Because I just checked the draw, and like every single match in your round is finished. And I think a couple sections of the draw were two rounds ahead, and you're just still playing. You're just still playing Jake. I was like, damn, this is going to be rough for him. Okay. No, that's a great little update on your schedule of play and where you're going to be. And I just wanted to, this is a shot in the dark because I haven't really heard a whole lot lately, but we haven't discussed this much at all after that, you know, barrage we had a couple months ago. Have you heard any more news on whatever, Duper, UTR, APP, PPA, MLP, player contracts, anything like that lately, Robert?
Not so much lately. I think UTR has kind of gone a little quiet. I do know that, you know, when I'd spoken with them before, they're more focused on, you know, obviously I believe they have ratings. They haven't publicly released them or anything like that, but I think they're more of their focus was on getting clubs and tournament providers, tournament directors to use their software for events. Like it felt like that was more of the focus than, you know, just trying to create an amazing rating system per se. Gotcha. So I don't know where any of it stands at this point, or if they're delayed or if they're pushing it back or whatever it may be. But that's the last update I heard on UTR, but don't know much of what's going on with the partnership that they put in place with the APP either. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been much talk since those early days of when that was first announced. And then, yeah, everything else, you know, it feels like a par for the course. MLP's got two more events for this first season before the redraft. I believe that, Adam, you might know more. You probably do know more about this than I do.
In terms of challenger
waiver wire and supplemental draft. I don't know when that stuff's kind of maybe March 1st. But there hasn't been any movement to my knowledge. Right. I did hear that Premier can already make trades, and there's been some offers out that just haven't come to fruition just yet.
Yeah, I know that's true.
Okay. So yeah, that's MLP update. You know, PPA, they're just seem to be, this will be my, what is this, my first PPA of the year? I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes. The venue here is a little like, man, like I played at a couple different Lifetime Fitnesses here. They had like the courts were true, nice surface, but the one in Lakeville where the tournament's actually being held, the court, like they say it's Rebound Ace, which is like more of a spongy type hard court.
Yep.
It's not. Certainly doesn't feel like it. Cause we had Rebound Ace in Hawaii when I was in Hawaii and this is not like, it feels like a hard surface, but then when the ball bounces, it's kind of hollowish, like a, it feels like a hollowish surface. So the ball just kind of dies and it probably bounces honestly, like if you're just to drop it probably an inch less than it normally would. And then it really throws it off. Like it's, like you can leave some high dinks. If that thing bounces, you're safe, buddy. You're not getting attacked from your ankle.
Gotcha. So, so it's a hard surface. It seems a little maybe thin, meaning hollow. And I mean, I know Rebound Ace, you can actually like get down there and it'll give a little bit if you poke it. So,
so it's not like that.
It's not that, not like that. Yeah. Right. No. Exactly. Okay. And so it's,
we'll see.
And it's so you said this is at a Lifetime facility, right?
It's a Lifetime facility. Yeah.
Lifetime facility.
Okay. Dude, all the Lifetimes here are bonkers nice. Like, I mean, they're gigantic, dude. They have like cafes, restaurants, places. Like
smoothie place. Yeah. The place by where my parents' house is awesome as well. And I was there for Thanksgiving and I was up on the bike or the treadmill or something. And I saw pickleball commercials. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty cool. I was just kind of like, wait, I'm not at a pickleball tournament. And then I saw like some guaranteed rate or something like that for pickleball. I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. I even get that on some random like YouTube videos I watch. I'll watch some poker videos. So it's not even necessarily a pickleball video. And then I'll get the advertisements for pickleball. I was like, this is pretty cool.
Oh, that train, that train's coming, Adam. It's rolling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like it. I like it. Okay. Also, So I got a little small update on minor league pickleball. So I've been chatting a little bit with Tim Parks and Rick Chan. Those are the owners, two of the four owners, I believe, of the Hard Eights. And so he's been chatting. Timothy Parks has been chatting very, very into pickleball, old Timothy Parks. Like, I feel like I'm sharing some information with him. He already knows. Like, you know, so he's in the mix.
It. Anyways, he's all over my newsletter too. I love it.
Yeah. Like, Timbo's in it.
Needs that content. Let's go.
He needs it. He needs it. So anyway, they had a very, very bare bones, kind of idea right now, but to get, I thought it was cool because to get minor league pickleball to be a little bit of a feeder system into major league pickleball, but also to have a variety of tournaments around the country in an MLP format. So you're going to have like a 4-person team with a 14 combined duper, an 18 combined duper, and then you'll have the actual open, the top class. So I thought that was very cool to see someone kind of trying to get in place some infrastructure to have some tournaments around the country in MLP format and possibly get yourself to move up tiers to maybe make it into minor league pickleball. So what do you think about that?
No, I think it's perfect. It makes a lot of sense, right? Like having the, it's natural progression of, you know, going from 14, 16, 18 up to open and whatever it may be. I think it's perfect. I think it's awesome. And I like that, you know, I like the combined duper thing. Mm-hmm. So you can have three guys, one girl, you could have all women, like it's just interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's been a pretty good feedback and clear that, you know, so I see people randomly doing MLP formats like kind of throughout the country or in their local groups. So to get something a little more structured, maybe even have a kind of like a pipeline like baseball does where you have teams at the lower levels affiliated with the main team that's in the major league pickleball. I think that's a great idea, and I know a lot goes into that, and it's, you know, probably a little ways away from coming to fruition, but the fact that someone's working on that is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, I think, man, I posted a Instagram reel this morning of, you know, me talking about just this, which is I think this is the direction that pickleball should go. Obviously, we're talking minor league, which is more amateur, but I think there's still money involved. So let's call it lower level pro, depending on which kind of tier you're playing. But I think this should be the direction that we move towards for pro pickleball over tournament formats. I'm not saying get rid of all tournaments altogether. There's not place for a tour. But I think when I think about what the premier product for pro pickleball should be, I think a team-based league makes way more sense. It's more unique. It's a differentiator. And why do we need to be tennis? Like, why can't we forge our own path and be a team-based league, full-time for pros with, you know, clearly some tournaments sprinkled in, because it's still interesting and still fun to play tournaments. But just thinking about all the storylines and things that could, you know, you have four people playing, but you could have a team of, you know, six people, seven people, right? And, you know, you practice with that team, you have a geographically based location where you are required to go however many times to train and drill. You have, maybe you have like a, you know, preseason training type stuff, like a normal sports league. I just think that's so compelling, and there's so much content, which, you know, content's a big deal for pickleball. It's obviously everywhere. And the more, you know, there's documentaries being created right now. And I just watched Full Swing last night. I don't know if you've seen it, Adam. I'm sure you have. You're the documentary dude.
Like three episodes or something.
Dude, Full Swing is so good. They crushed it. Like, yeah. It's so compelling. It's a little different in respect to each episode's basically focused on different players, mm-hmm. Yeah. which I like, because you get a whole episode of just like seeing what Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are doing,
right?
And their relationship and all that stuff. But I think making pickleball unique is a big deal, and I think it's obviously the most compelling product that fans watch. You know, we always like new matchups and stuff, but I think right now the like MLP is just, it's too quick. You forget kind of results fast. It goes to a new event. It just feels like there's not a lot of continuity, and maybe that's just because it's this year and there's two drafts. But I'd love to see a full length season and it be the kind of the main thing in pro pickleball.
We'll like see. Live golf. It's kind of, I mean, they do the team. What is it? 48 players, 12 teams, something like that. So I've watched some of the Full Swing too, and it is pretty cool. I like all those things. I like the tennis one as well. And I think they're coming out with the third season of F1, which I think started it all with the F1. It's very good as well. So how about this, Rob? Mm-hmm. So you mentioned something about the bounce being slightly off at the actual facility. I'm interested in my viewing and my IPA drinking this weekend, which is much more enjoyable than playing pickleball, in my opinion, is to see some of the cleanliness of points in this indoor format. So we've had some breezy conditions. We definitely had breezy conditions at MLP, especially that Thursday with the Challenger. We've had breezy conditions at some of the subsequent PPA tournaments and APP tournaments since MLP. I am looking for if we have a little less frequency of unforced errors and maybe a little added length to fast hands firefights and exchanges with the neutral conditions and the indoor format. What do you think about that?
I think maybe in terms of extended firefights, but at the same time, like it's wildly cold here. And I know obviously indoors is heated, right? But everything still plays really fast. It's playing really quick. Mm-hmm. Balls are pretty hard. Cracked. I think first day I play at the Lakeville location where the tournament's being held, I think we went through six or seven balls. I expect it to be fast. I expect the courts to be a little challenging, especially guys that are just showing up today to play. Didn't really get any practice in yesterday or before because the weather. So I don't know how much cleaner it'll be. It's obviously, in my opinion, way better to play pickleball in neutral conditions where there's no wind or sun or anything like that, because we're talking about a wiffle ball and it's super light and it affects everything. but we'll see. I think for sure it'll be cleaner than if there were 15 mile per hour winds, but hard to say if it's going to be like a typical indoor event.
Right. Right. Gotcha. Yeah. And even, I mean, even in the, I mean, you're in Minnesota, even when they put the heat on, it's not going to get above 60 in there or something like that. So, yeah, probably not frigid, but it's not warm in there either. So, that definitely, affects the play, but we'll have to see. I'll be, like I said, I'll be watching, I'll be charting all the, yes. So, and so I'm assuming you're going to be playing, some right side pickleball and men's doubles this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, we practiced yesterday and just kind of played straight up. So, which I'm not a huge fan of playing straight up. I like dialing in one side and having less variables to figure out, but, I imagine we'll probably mix it up quite a bit.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. So, how often and how long was Julian talking in between the points in practice?
In between the points, not very much, but in between the games, significant.
Oh, he's next level. There's been a couple of times where I'm just like, Julian, we got to play. We got to play, brother. And I think that's kind of one of the things that's intriguing about Julian is that he's one of the more intense guys on court and off court. He's kind of like a sensitive sweetheart. So he just likes to chat and, you know, write some poetry and do whatever else. So, okay, yeah. Rob, we're a couple days late on our standard recording schedule, but pretty important tournament happened this past weekend. Some interesting results, some very tight games, early end draws, and a couple surprising teams pushing deep into Championship Sunday. So why don't we take a little look at that, Robert? What do you say?
I watched a fair amount of the pickle this past weekend, so I'll have some thoughts for sure.
Good. Okay, well, let's just start off with some men's doubles. We had a nice run from Dekel and AJ. AJ was pretty disciplined on the right from the bit that I saw, kind of grinding dinks, not necessarily flipping every second or third ball like he tends to do. Mm-hmm. Looked like they also played, maybe not always, but they did a little bit of a half stack, meaning they were playing their side when returning, but keeping AJ on the right for when they were serving.
Yeah.
They had a battle with Leung and Dawson in the semifinals. I believe it was like 14-12 or something.
I think they were super fortunate to get through that one. I thought Leung and Dawson were going to take it several times.
Long grindy points. Not surprising when you consider Callen and Tyler, pretty solid counterattackers, but very solid dinkers as well. Neither one very well known for initiating offense. So grindy points were definitely on the agenda for this match. And then
that might be as upset as I've seen Leung after a match.
Right.
Like he was not happy. And it was nice to see a little personality out there though. You know, like I think we need more of it.
Yeah. Leung definitely has I wouldn't necessarily say a mental block, but he hasn't had the best success against Dekel. So, and they have played a lot and they're obviously always head up. When Dekel's playing left and Tyler is right, Dekel and myself played them like 37 times. Tyler Leung and Spencer Smith, and so I think that Leung wants to beat Dekel maybe a little bit more than a couple other guys, just given the frequency that they played each other. So,
got it. Good insight there.
That was a solid run from them. Dekel and AJ had not played the first two, I believe. So I kind of slotted them in as that four team behind the kids, and then obviously Matt and Riley and Colin, his brother. So they did about exactly what I expected, played solid, were in a good spot to move on to Championship Sunday, and ended up losing in three in the semifinals, you know, dims and the breaks, but a nice looking team and nice result from those two. We had Matt Wright and Riley Newman beat the kids handily, meaning J.W. Johnson and Dylan Frazier in the semifinals, and they were not really pushed at all up until obviously Championship Sunday. What'd you see from Wright and Newman in that match against J.W. and Dylan and their just overall men's doubles performance?
Honestly, I didn't. That's the one I didn't see. I don't know. I'm sure it was streamed though, but I remember seeing that result and was pretty surprised how routine it looked.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think I don't know what it was, like 6-3 or 5-4 or something like that. Pretty routine. And I actually got bring him up again, Timothy Parks, the Hard Eights owner. He sent me a clip of J.W. Johnson doing an interview, and the interviewer asked him a little bit about who he thinks some of his biggest competition is and some of the ranks of the top guys. And I think he kind of maybe started off serious, but kind of got a little goofy or silly with it. But it seemed that he had Matt Wright and Riley Newman ranked very high, possibly even Riley above Colin's brother, and had some interesting ranks among those top 10. What do you think about JW and his comment on some of those top level men players?
Yeah, I mean, it's also dependent on kind of game styles and who you're comfortable going against and seeing. But yeah, I mean, not super surprising with Riley. He's a big presence, and has upped his game this year a lot. And I think probably more than anything in respect to that comment from J-Dub is probably just hand speed. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt and Riley, I would say, have better hands over the Johns. So, you know, and that's kind of what J-Dub and Dylan rely on is, you know, the quick speed up and cleanups. So the fact that it's a little bit more challenging, you got to be a little bit more careful about where you pull the trigger against them, I would say, versus the Johns is probably why.
Yeah. And you know, he's played a lot of pickleball on the left in front of Matt Wright. So that obviously is not his favorite matchup. And it seems to be from his comments that he would much rather face Colin than Matt Wright head in that head up situation. So just a little interesting tidbit from any time you are getting one of those top five or seven guys to talk about the other 5-7 guys. Yeah. It's pretty entertaining, and it means a lot coming from him, especially someone who's pretty quiet and doesn't talk a lot. So I just thought that was interesting. We also had, I dropped my pen. We had, we talked about last time that we are having the losers of the two semifinals playing that third, fourth match for bronze. And then if you lose in the quarters or before, the best you can do is fifth. So we had a nice run by Tejez and Federico Staxrud, Julian and Thomas Wilson, Navratil and Hewitt, and Avern and Ignatovic running through that fifth, sixth spot. And then we had the kids beating Dekel and AJ pretty handily in that third, fourth matchup to capture bronze. So that pretty much wraps up men's doubles. Anything you want to add before we move on?
What was that? The bronze score, pretty straight.
It was like an 8-2, like a 7-3 type thing. So not like certainly not a blowout, but not really that highly contested either. I wonder. I would really like to see how Dekel handles the kids moving forward. So, granted, AJ's better than me at pickleball, but last year, Dekel and I, you know, beat the kids 2 years ago and then played them several times last year, and it didn't really go great. So obviously a lot of that is me, but I think Dekel in front of Dylan gave Dekel some issues as well in some of those matchups. So they're going to end up playing each other quite a bit, I would imagine. So that's kind of a situation we'll have to monitor moving forward. Okay, so we have the women as well. We had Leia Jansen and Elise Jones are playing well together. So I know Leia talked about herself being in a good headspace. Her mind's a little locked in from a variety of reasons from last year. And I think that I probably just undersold Elise a little bit. And just the fact that she is, you know, a more solid, consistent, not that flashy player, I think I undersold her a little bit. So great job by them making it. Let's see, what did they do? I don't know. So who did they beat? Oh, they beat Callie and Lucy comfortably from bronze. And they also beat CP and Georgia, I think.
They had a really tight one that I thought they might lose that they ended up getting through. But that would have been a tough loss. Do you know who that was against? You have the draw
that was running. Yeah, I do. Okay, here we go. That's my bad. I had it written down wrong. So they squeezed through in their second round match against Shelby Bates and Rachel Retger. 12-10 in the third, which is obviously super tight. And then they go on to beat Tereshchenko and Dizon in that next round. And then in the back draw, they ended up having a nice run in the back draw, beating Kovalova and Smith in the bronze medal match. So very nice job by them. But yes, a very tight one in the second round. We talk about it all the time, Rob. A lot of my medals or deep runs in my pickleball career had an early scare in the first or second round. So you got to stick with it. You got to battle through. You never know when eking out one of those early round matches might springboard you for the rest of the tournament. So let's see here. It was Irvine and Kawamoto that ended up being Catherine and Georgia, which I obviously not a big upset or anything, but definitely on paper, I would take Georgia and Catherine over Jesse and Jackie. So great job by them.
I think I watched Jackie play a lot. I thought in a lot of those matches, I thought she was the best player on the court. She was super impressive. She obviously doesn't miss a lot, but I thought her attacks have gotten better. I was really impressed with Jackie.
Yeah, and I think that's a point of emphasis for them. And I talk about this a lot with just naturally defensive players. Don't count on that. Go out, practice, find offense, find weapons, find things to create havoc, and then you fall back on your defense when you need to. You don't want to use that as your go-to. That's always going to be there for you. When your hands are downy soft, you have good feel for the ball, and you're consistent, that's going to be there. You don't need to completely neglect it, but worry about that offense and figure out a way to be a presence out there. And sounds like that's exactly what Jackie has done. Great job and great run from her. They ended up losing in four to the Annas in the gold medal match. But either way, phenomenal run from Irvine and Kawamoto. And I'll tell you what, I mean, besides for that semifinal match where the Annas won 11-4 in the third against Jansen and Jones, just pretty smooth sailing, some two and threes. I know they went four in the gold medal match, but 11-7, 11-1, 11-3 are the three games that they won. Just too good.
Yeah, I mean, I think are they playing all year together?
That's what Leia said. So I mean, a year's a long time. Things change, but they've had some solid results so far. And like I said, Leia said that she's feeling great mentally, and I don't see any reason why they would split anytime soon, even if that means they don't quite make it all year together. Very solid team. Very solid team.
Yep.
Okay. Mixed doubles, Robert. Lots of three games, even early on, first and second round, even before we start getting to the quarters and the semis, lots of really good teams, deep field. And, we had the most important, probably the Johnsons upsetting Anna Lee and Colin's brother in the quarters. And I'll tell you what, Georgia Johnson, well, maybe not, maybe this is too strong of a statement, shit the bed with some errors occasionally, but that damn hand speed and power is electric and very, very, very much. She's the top couple, women in the game when it comes to power and hands.
She's the top when it comes to hands. I don't think it's very close.
Yeah.
And it's coming off quick, and she won most of her, like, I'd love to see the percentages, because she won most of the heads up against Colin's brother, just straight on. Just like, I think it even ended the match on a speed up and a cleanup. Like it was impressive. And yeah, I mean, of course she's gonna have some unforced errors here and there. I think there's still some cleaning up to do in the soft game. But man, like when she initiates, she's good, good.
Yeah, and it wasn't just, you know, her catching him leaning and beating him on the first ball. There was a lot of her speeding up, first counter on it, and then her winning the hands battle three shots later, which is just insane. I mean, there's not even really dudes that can do that. Georgia's out there hitting three and four shot heavy combinations and winning hand speed battles. Just incredible play from her.
I said over the weekend, I was like, Georgia didn't win because of JW. She won despite of JW.
the best Johnson. The best Johnson. That's right. So after that big upset, ended up moving to the semifinals, beating David and Wilson to make it to Championship Sunday. So great job by the Johnsons. Pretty certain they're locked in together for quite a while, if not the whole year. So great result from them. Let's see. Some nice play again from Leia Jansen, her and the Rattlesnake. They beat AJ and Jesse. And then they ended up getting fifth place, beating CP, Catherine Parento, and Julian 15-4 in that last match to get fifth. So nice job by the Rattlesnake and Leia Jansen, beating a couple pretty quality teams.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. I don't know if you watch much of Kohler and Irvin, but
Kohler was going a little psycho.
Yeah,
a little too much.
Yeah, chemistry is questionable on that team, in my opinion. It didn't look like either of them were very happy with each other, having very much fun.
Jesse does
a lot of like
have fun.
No, she
doesn't
does not.
Have fun. She does not have fun.
But I don't know how much they're playing together, but I just found, you know, didn't seem like they were vibing.
Quote unquote. Well, I think I always see like the Dane Gingrich posts, and sorry, Dane, I apologize, but I usually like read one sentence and then I'm just like, this is too long. But anytime there's like that see more button, that's just too much for me. That's too much for me to press. But anyway, he said something about like, you're at the kitchen line, you're having an exchange, something happens, and then the players exit to the outside.
So
that's like pretty much Riley and all of his partners.
Yeah.
And that was definitely happening with Jesse and AJ. And I will say that I do think AJ's a great male mixed player and one of the better guys at taking over. I do think he was overextending a little too much. Especially when you have a rock of Jesse Irvin, he doesn't really need to like compensate for her. He needs to be a presence, of course, but he's got to, you know, pull back a little bit knowing that he has a consistent female that is not really going to miss too frequently. So I thought he went a little crazy. And I think that there was definitely some moving to the outside of the court, not looking at each other and having that vibe. So not surprising there. Let's see, what else would we have? Oh, a solid run from the commentators had some fun with this, and I would have as well. The Fudge Bar. So we had Megan Fudge, Deckel Bar. They beat Matt and Lucy. Then they beat Edda and Rafa. And then they lose a battle in the bronze medal match to Vivian David and Thomas Wilson. So great run. You know, Deckel Bar's had plenty of nice runs and mixed. Megan Fudge a little less so. So they must have had some good rapport out there to beat those quality teams and end up getting fourth place.
Yeah, good. You know, Deckel obviously gets a lot of flack for mixed just because results are pretty inconsistent, like, you know, really high ceiling, really low floor. So, nice to see a solid mixed result, even if it was fourth.
The old Fudge Bar, pretty quality. AB, Anna Bright, Riley, incredibly smooth sailing to Championship Sunday. I don't know what the score is with Fudge Bar, but it wasn't particularly close in the semifinals. And end up beating the Johnsons in five on Championship Sunday. Pretty tightly contested match, obviously going to five, but I believe it was a pretty smooth 4-5 in games 4-5 for Anna Bright and Riley. They didn't have a terrible result, but didn't make it to Championship Sunday that previous tournament. And I think we mentioned it on the pod, whatever, it's their first tournament together, no big deal. And sure enough, very next tournament, they get a W and get the gold.
Yep. So yeah, I think it's going to be a fun year for mix because you've got, you know, Georgia and Jade up kind of, you know, pushing their way to the top of the, to the top of the rankings there. there's, you know, we've always said it, there's so many good mixed teams. It's such deep draws. It's so tough. And you still have Lucy and Matt right there still in the mix that can, you know, beat anybody too. So yeah, it's going to be fun to watch mix. It's just getting tighter and tighter at the top.
Yeah. I mean, Matt and Lucy didn't do great for a few tournaments. All of a sudden they're in Championship Sunday last PPA. So yeah, the depth of mixed and the depth of men's singles, definitely the top two in terms of depth. And you can see that in some of the results. And like I mentioned, maybe not even an upset, but some really tight first and second round matches with the quality teams. I don't really see how that's going to change moving forward. Okay, so obviously we tend to go a little heavier on the double side, but let's mix in some singles just briefly. We had Fed beating Collins' brother 12-10 in the semifinals, and then taking down Jay DeVillier 2-0 in the finals. Yeah. Very surprising. Great job by Jay making it to Championship Sunday, but 2-0 from Federico. He was firing on all cylinders and one of the more lopsided Championship Sundays and singles or doubles we've ever seen.
Yeah, it was 2-0 and it wasn't even that close. Like it was impressive stuff from Fed. You know, and those days happen for everybody where it just feels like there's nothing you can do out there. So, you know, felt bad for Jocelyn. It was a tough result, but yeah, big props on getting there, because he mowed through some really, really good players in the bracket. I think he beat Connor Garnett like 0-3 or
3-0 and 3. I was like, damn,
I don't even know how you do that.
That dude's
good.
Yeah.
CG. So yeah, big props in getting the silver. And sometimes you just can't do much other than say too good.
Yeah. And the thing is you can overcome one or the other, either you playing poorly or your opponent playing very well. But if you're on both ends of it, your opponent playing well and maybe your feel's a little bit off, sometimes you just lose 2-0, and that's what happened there. Let's see. Yeah. We had Alshon and Martinez. I don't know how to – it's like Jaume Vich Martinez or something like that. I've been seeing him in draws for a few months now, but he had some really nice wins in the back draw. Ended up playing Alshon in the 5th-6 match with Alshon getting him. So nice run by both of them in the back draw. And then Collins' brother pulling out of the bronze medal match, which is pretty surprising. Pulling out, there's no reason to do it earlier in the back draw. You see players do it constantly. But I think this might be the first time we actually saw someone pull out of a medal match. So a little bit surprising there.
I think one important note, outside of that withdrawal, is how many withdrawals there were just after the players losing their first round or second round. Like, yeah, there, I mean, like wow. in that fifth place draw, that back draw, it was just bye. Like everybody mm-hmm. just advancing because people are just pulling out mm-hmm. and it had to be over five.
Yes. No, it's getting more extreme and more extreme. And what's the solution there?
I mean,
I don't know. So we saw it months ago with men's singles specifically because of the big draw and singles as a grind. And now with the rule change, meaning when you lose in the semifinals, you play the third, fourth, and you can't get better than fifth, sixth. If you lose before that, that combined, now it's leaking over into all events, doubles included. So I don't know. I obviously haven't thought very deeply about it, but yeah, there's got to be a better way. And maybe they just don't care and no one really cares. And this is just kind of how it's going to be moving forward.
I mean, I clearly would draw from singles if I withdrew in the main draw. Like, screw it, you know.
Shit, you're got
to the quarters. I'm good here. Take care.
That was on my advice too.
That was on your advice. Thank you, Adam. So I feel like if you're getting comped entry fees, then you should definitely be committed to playing, barring like a significant injury. Mm-hmm. But even more so, if you're getting an appearance fee to show up and play and they're paying you to be at that event, you have to play the event out. right? So, and you know, I'm in that boat too, right? Like, play the event out. You're there. They're wanting you to, you know, they're comping your fees. You're getting paid to play. So I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. Maybe it's as simple as that. If you're getting an appearance fee and you're getting stuff waived, then you play the event. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's too easy right now to withdraw, in my opinion. And it's not a good look for the tournament. And you know, let's either go to a single elimination where there is no back draw, or I don't know. But there's just too many withdrawals right now, and there has to be something that changes.
Yep. No, I agree with you. I'm sure this will be debated more and more as it continues to happen. And I see absolutely no reason why it won't continue to happen. So last one, Robert, here is women's singles. Let's see. We had a nice win by Mary Brasha, beating Catherine Parento in three, and then losing to Leia in three in the semifinals.
Dude, after Catherine lost to Mary Brasha, like,
she hit the shit out of her leg. I saw that.
Dude, it like hurt me. It hurt my leg. Through the live stream. I was like, because it was like, one, it's the power air. It's hard. It's hard.
And it wasn't like paddle slap. It was edge.
Dude.
Ooh, yeah.
And then I saw her the next day, and that mark on her leg is like black and blue.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
So I don't know. That just made me sad, actually. It's like, man, like.
Yes. But it's like, if you smack your own butt or thigh with your paddle, it stings and it makes that pop, but no one hits themselves with the edge guard. Yeah. That's like, you know, deep bone bruise stuff. I don't want any part of that. So, obviously, Catherine not thrilled with that result. She's been having some great singles results lately, but, going down to Mary Brasha, who is fairly up and down, but she'll have some good wins sprinkled in there, especially on the singles court. So nice job by her. And then of course we had, the standard Anna Lee playing Leia in Championship Sunday. And then we had, Salome, Davidze, beating Mary Brasha in that, bronze medal match. So, pretty standard stuff, but except for that, pretty significant upset of Mary Brasha over Catherine Parento, who I believe is the number three seed. So, and I think Mary Brasha was seven. So, slight upset, but definitely an upset. And that pretty much, sums up the tournament. Some really interesting results, after double, triple crowns for Colin's brother and Anna Lee, earlier in the year, definitely didn't get it this last time. So, very fun, entertaining, tournament to watch. We obviously have the Minnesota tournament come up, and maybe we'll try to record Monday or Tuesday of next week to get these recaps out a little quicker.
Yeah. What do you think, Adam? Do you think, was this last tournament just kind of a flash in a pan of like, you know, is it going to be an ongoing thing where we have, you know, a much broader sense of who's going to be doing well? Cause I like
it. Who the hell knows, Rob? I mean, like, whatever it was, 6 or 8 months ago, like, Tyson had a couple bad tournaments, and I was like, he's done. His singles is over. He's not going to be meddling much anymore. Then he has, like, five tournaments where he makes Championship Sunday. Then we have, we have these new teams. We have Dekel and AJ. We have JW and Dylan. We have some new mixed teams. And then we get double, triple crowns in the first two tournaments. And then we have this tournament where there was all kinds of stuff going on. So who really knows? But I just have to imagine we're going to see more and more of this happening. And we've talked about it a lot in the last, calendar year or so. And we'll have a couple tournaments where it looks like for sure the parity's there. Everyone's even. And then we have a couple tournaments where the top players dominate. So don't really know. Just can't imagine it not happening more frequently in 2023 and beyond.
Yeah. It makes it way more fun to watch, in my opinion, when you have
definitely,
you know, a bunch of people that can win and not just a standard couple teams.
Yeah, definitely. And, Yeah, I also, and it's cool because we had the upsets, and then we had like the traditional rivalry too in that men's doubles final. So yep. you had a little bit of everything there, and I'm a little bit worried about Matt and Riley as the temperatures ramp up and the softness of the ball ramps up as well. So we'll see if that aggressive style, you know, was a big product of the conditions and their skill and their decision making, or it was really, really a product of those conditions, and it is more of a struggle for them in the summer months. We'll just have to see.
Yeah. Another. I don't know what else you have on the docket here, Adam, but another hot topic that's been kind of floating around and in the Dean newsletter, and you know, kind of all over the place on podcasts, is the talk about deflection and dwell time in terms of paddle testing and how.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And paddles delaminating and it creating the springboard effect where balls are coming off really, really hot, and how to actually test paddles at tournaments, because right now all you have to do is show a paddle that has the skin of a USA Pickleball approved paddle, no matter what the specs on it might actually be.
Right.
And you can play with it without any repercussions, and it's wild. Like that, how is that a thing where you could basically show up to a tournament with that has no testing and just play with whatever you want, and just because it has a USA Pickleball approved stamp on it, you're good to go. What?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge deal. And I think it was Zane Navratil that talked about dwell time, how long the ball yeah. dwells on the paddle, which I thought was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, it's absolutely true that they have to come up with something. And I've had a talk with Zane Navratil about this, and he mentioned that tennis just kind of had free reign on racket technology, but they would mess with the ball. Yeah. They would put, you know, make it a little whatever, less springy and things like that. I'm not sure if you can do that with a wiffle ball, or maybe you can only do it less because the ball doesn't compress. But there, something has to be done, because I mean, literally a year, 12, 18 months ago, I would still consider my famous little line that pickleball is a game of errors, not a game of winners. I'm just not sure that's the case anymore. So
yeah.
So it is literally completely changing the type of shots that you can hit and the way that your players are playing the game. And if that's what's happening, which is happening, there has to be some form of regulation on it.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that, Adam? Are you more in the ballpark, or are you more on the side of let these companies do whatever they want with paddles, but let's figure out a ball that you know neutralizes everything? Or yeah. should, like, it feels just so difficult to be able to consistently regulate and test paddles when there's so many different batches, and right. so I just don't know how you do it.
Yeah, and like I said, I think I don't know, I'm far from a scientist, but it seems that you can control a tennis ball way more than a wiffle ball, because like I said, there's you know, pressure in it. You can take some, put air in, take air out, this kind of thing. You can't do that with a wiffle ball. So yes, there has to be some form of regulation, I think.
With like, you know, some of those more rubber type balls, even like an indoor ball.
Like maybe it's a jug ball or something.
Much softer,
like that.
More rubbery, right. less right, hard yeah. plastic. They break less. It slowed the game down. I mean,
that's a factor. And another big factor is you have to talk about where the sport's going. TV, viewership, people watching that don't know anything about it. You know, pickleball savvy veteran sees a, you know, a 20 dink rally with a couple resets and whatever, and they think that's an awesome point. Your casual viewer sees that and thinks, what the hell's going on? How is this a sport? So, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into this. It's not just, you know, the preference of the player and each specific player and all that. There's more of a broad scope as well. So for me personally, if everyone had to play with a, you know, a 2010 Pro Light paddle, you know, I might be one of the best players in the world, you know, because I just don't really miss and don't do anything special. Some of these, you know, top 10 guys might be 4 fives with an old Pro Light paddle. So
100%.
I don't know what the exact
I think it's making the transition from tennis to pickleball easier, right?
Oh, like, God, yes, for sure.
Much easier.
For sure. Yeah, and you can it's even changing the grips people use.
Yeah, like people using Western grips now. It's like,
yeah, you have a pro light paddle and you want to use a semi Western or a Western grip, you are effed. You have no shot. So to create some of it now, it doesn't even have to be semi Western. It could be Eastern, which is somewhere in between semi Western and your continental grip, and you can do things with the ball that you didn't used to be able to. So it should be a hot topic on all the podcasts and a buzz in the community because it's a huge deal.
Yeah, and just needs some regulation in some respect because, you know, the fact that all of this means so much more to players now in terms of prize money, sponsorships, et cetera, like it needs to be an even playing field in terms of what we're using and what we're playing with and what we have in our hands.
That's right. Hey, Robert, and I'll tell you one thing right now. Whoever or whenever we do get this figured out on paddle testing, I think it is absolutely essential that we get Don Pabin to be the main tester. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Good. Okay. Good.
Nobody else. Nobody else. I want.
Nobody else. Don Pabin for sure. And he must be videoed while testing all
every of one of them. Every single one. Of them. And I want a play-by-play commentary on it too.
Yes. So this is actually good. I'm gonna write this down. I'm gonna take a little bit of a deeper dive on just everything that's happened with the paddle stuff and formulate exactly what I think should happen. And then we'll talk about that next episode because it really is a huge, huge deal and something's got to give sooner rather than later. So,
Hey Adam.
Yes, Robert.
Are you coming to Salt Lake early?
I don't know yet. I have to figure that out. So it's going to be hard. The issue is Corinne wants to travel with me. So we got to try to figure something out. I would like to come and do a little content before, but I'm just not sure it's going to work out. So
I still believe in you.
I'll see what I can do. So, I mean, maybe I can just, you know, use that card that I'm going to not be able to do things like this once the baby comes. So maybe I can, you know.
That's fair.
Got to do it now.
And you're working, Adam. Let's be honest.
Got to do it now. I mean, I'm working right now, Robert.
High-end content creation.
Let's go. All right. We're at an hour and 3 minutes, Robert. I think it feels right to stop.
It does.
Anything else would you like to say?
I'll see you in Salt Lake next week to record in person.
Hey, pull that. I like that. Pull that hair back out. I want that hipster.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you tucked it back in. Let's get hipster. That's hipster. Now that is hipster. I like
that
a lot.
Here we go. Hey, I'm just glad I have hair that could poke up front.
Yeah, you know, no, that's true. A lot of people don't.
Adam, you great have a beautiful hairline. You have a beautiful head of hair, to be honest.
Great hairline.
God, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
If only I could grow a beard like you grow a beard, then I'd be full hipster.
It's getting long. It's red. It's getting a little red down here. So it's all good, though. Okay, Robert, that was a lovely episode. And let's try to get together Monday or Tuesday and recap this Minnesota tournament, all right?
I can't wait, Adam.
I can't wait. Bye, Robert.
Bye.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.